Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Tonight we're supposed to have our discussion where you get to outpour all the things that are hardest about Krishna consciousness. And it'll also discuss all the things that are easy. We'll read a bit from Nectar Devotion, just to start off with, from Prabhupada's preface. As far as material necessities are concerned, the human civilization at the present moment is very much advanced in living comfortably. But still we are not happy, because we are missing the point. The material comforts of life alone are not sufficient to make us happy. The vivid example is America, the richest nation of the world, having all facilities for material comfort, is producing a class of men completely confused and frustrated in life. Well, at the time Prabhupada wrote this in 1970, he's referring to the hippies. Of course, there's very few hippies these days, but still, America's producing a class of men completely confused and frustrated in life, so that hasn't changed. Now, instead of hippies, they're yuppies, but still, they're a class of frustrated and confused people. I am appealing herewith to such confused men to learn the art of devotional service as directed in the Nectar of Devotion. And I am sure that the fire of material existence burning within their hearts will be immediately extinguished. Can you feel that? The fire of material existence burning within the heart, which needs to be extinguished. The root cause of our dissatisfaction is that our dormant loving propensity has not been fulfilled. We were discussing this yesterday. Remember yesterday we were discussing how we should desire to learn how to love so that everyone becomes happy. There's a technique for doing that. The root cause of our dissatisfaction is that our dormant loving propensity has not been fulfilled, despite our great advancement in the materialistic way of life. The Nectar of Devotion will give us practical hints how we can live in this material world perfectly engaged in devotional service and thus fulfill all our desires in this life and the next. Practical hints for stimulating our love of Krishna. So that is the technique of bhakti yoga. Techniques for turning on the one switch that lights up everything. The technique for properly dealing with your loving propensity, which if it's not dealt with properly, causes you such dissatisfaction and discomfort. But sometimes we feel that in executing bhakti yoga, there are things that are just too difficult. Have you all felt that? Who's felt that sometimes? That's just too difficult. Raise your hands, you felt. Who's never felt that? Raise your hands. So everyone here has. Oh, you felt sometimes it was too difficult, some things were too difficult? Sitaram Lakshman, you felt that sometimes some parts of bhakti yoga are too difficult?
Yeah.
Okay, we're having a discussion now. We want to know what are those things. Who'll be the first? If we were going to blame Krishna, Krishna, it's just too difficult, this part of bhakti yoga. It's like a little kid. He'd be going to each other.
It's just not just too difficult. Why are you asking me to do this? This is too difficult. I can't.
So what would you say if you would whine like that to Krishna?
Yeah, when we have good consciousness, yeah, we blame Krishna, but when we understand, yeah, it's not quite Krishna, it's us.
So what's the difficult thing? Who will say? Yes?
Understanding Sanskrit.
Understanding Sanskrit. That's the thing that you really find difficult. Everything else is easy, huh?
Waking up early.
Okay. Now we're getting more practical here. I didn't think understanding Sanskrit was a big impediment. Waking up early. Why is that difficult?
It's smart. Our brains choose
to going to bed at the time that we get up, huh?
Yeah.
It just takes some practice, and the body will get used to it. You know, the materialists say the night time is the right time for being active, but for devotees, the early morning is the right time for making spiritual advancement. Those who are in the mode of passion, ignorance, like to stay up late at night. But those who are in the mood of goodness and beyond, they like the early morning hours until sunset or spiritual cultivation. Anything else? It's difficult. Yes?
2016 rounds.
Really? Well, what do you mean by properly? Well, have we thought about first arranging our physical situation so that we can have an environment in which to focus? Yes, you should have a place in your house where it's calm and not cluttered and where there's no things that will distract you there, bills to pay and all sorts of things like that. Everything is out of sight and you can comfortably situate yourself and chant the holy name. You see, before you work on the mind's wanderings, you have to arrange your physical atmosphere, the gross physical atmosphere. You work from gross to subtle. First deal with the gross circumstances of your life, getting those organized for nice chanting, and then you can start dealing with the subtle things, the mind's wanderings. And there should also be a time for chanting. And the best time for chanting is the morning. Simply, it's a question of organizing your life for concentrating on the holy name. If you're serious and sincere, that's what you'll do. But if you don't make those practical organizational endeavors to organize your life for chanting, you can really mental out, oh, it's so difficult to concentrate, it's really impossible. Anything else? It's difficult, yes. Why is that difficult?
In my case, it's individualistic nature.
Your what nature?
Individualistic.
Well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time we were not individuals, never will it be a time. Natvevam jatunasam natvam neme janatapa. So, Well, the difficulty, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanya Chaitananam, the Upanishads say, of all the individuals, there's a supreme individual. So, what's the difficulty?
Like, it's no simple, for Dopamine, I don't think it's me. Maybe it's good to hear some voice of conscious. Small voice which said to me, don't do this. You better sacrifice this. Don't make me this book which is semi-bhakti mixed with something. You know, whether it's both strictly more and more, but most times,
You've lost me completely now. You have to be. What is the difficulty? The thing that's.
I mean, difficulty, for example, my particular situation, I have a big portion of jhana in my bhakti. If I have bhakti, I still interested in yoga and something else. I'm trying to use myself as for the noble purposes. I have to maintain my body and on and on. But I can feel whenever I'm concentrating totally on Krishna, on the spiritual side of me, it is more result. But somehow I'm unable to follow all this. This practice, this deep concentration, and neglect all others, all my other inclinations.
Well, use your inclinations for Krishna's service. It's not that everybody can immediately jump to the pure bhakti platform. You can do karma yoga. Karma yoga means use your inclinations for the pleasure of the Lord. Okay, so it's like you play the accordion for the pleasure of the Lord. Find a way that you can connect all your inclinations for Krishna's pleasure. What is the difficulty? Why torture yourself?
Because when you take a room for a short while to sacrifice the secondary things, it brings more test.
Yeah, but you say you're not able to do that all the time.
Yes.
So why torture yourself?
Because I wanted to do this all the time.
But you have to pay the price if you want to do that all the time. So rather than endeavor and fall on your face, endeavor and fall on your face, so to speak, why not just situate yourself nicely using your propensities in Krishna's service and gradually build up strength?
I don't have problem with this.
Okay, so then there's no difficulty.
No difficulty.
Karma yoga means whatever you have, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever charity you perform, do it as a, for Krishna. There's a subtle difference between karma yoga and bhakti yoga. Anyone else? Difficulty. What's difficult about following bhakti yoga? Yes? Yes? Karma yoga means you're not attached to the results, but you are attached to acting in a certain way. Full bhakti means you're not attached to the results, nor are you attached to acting in a particular way. Whatever Krishna wants, how Krishna wants it, that's full bhakti. Karma yoga is acceptable. It's not pure devotional service, but it's healthy. It's commendable. And yet, what is difficult? What is, yes. How do you surrender to a difficult service? I mean, what is
it? You know, say, for example, if you're a close-minded person, wants to perform a service which may not be particularly conducive to family life. You know, we have that same thing. You know, like, first we would have to grow sex, So if perhaps somebody may be asked to do a service which is very time consuming, which actually involves a lot of a lot of surrender, and it may take some material, then the library may not be able to spend so much time, so short and cold and family relationships, so just all the practical material.
What do you mean by surrender? Surrendering to a service.
If somebody surrenders, why can you be forced to surrender? So, for example, sometimes in this comment, you can see that devotees, they may be instructed by their authorities to perform something, which for some may not be difficult. Some may be asked to serve as a pachara for many years, and they may not want to do it, but they may serve in their capacity to the best of their ability. And then, sometimes we see devotees, they may be forced to do something against their nature, apparently for the pleasure of their authorities. Then, stress or frustration, whatever, they do something really stupid. So that wouldn't be really a thing for the real surrender. So, am I making sense to that?
Yes and no. There is such a thing as voluntarily accepting inconvenience for a higher purpose. That is known as tapasya. Who in Krishna consciousness can force anyone to do anything? Wait, hold on here. Who can force?
No way. Well, maybe not so much to like these days. I mean,
We're talking about now. We're talking about now. Why we go back 15? How long have you been devotee for? Mm-hmm. Why we have, ladies have this, what I call the time collapsing propensity, They can take something that happened 50 years ago and something that happened now and just into one, single point. Married men know all about this, it's called the time collapsing ability of women, Well, I remember 30 years ago when you did the same thing. Well, but that was 30 years ago. I mean, it wasn't exactly the same. But it feels the same, therefore. It all goes into one, single point. It's the same. You haven't changed. And it all hell breaks out. In bhakti yoga, no one can force anyone to do anything. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. Did Krishna force Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra? What did he say at the end of the Gita? Deliberate on what I've said, Arjuna, and do what you want to do, bearing in mind the consequences, of course. If you do not act according to my instruction, you'll still act, but you'll be conducted by Maya. So where is the question of force? Anything else? Difficult. What's difficult about this process of bhakti yoga? What do you say, Nanda? But what's difficult? Kendra?
Being humble.
Can you give us a more full description?
Just that the atmosphere over here in the West doesn't cultivate humility. It's more, it cultivates survival of the fittest mentality. Since we were brought up in that environment, it's not very conducive to spiritual advancement, understanding Shastra, surrendering to the order of the spiritual master. Because there's always some proud sense of independence from that. Yeah, just due to condition and habit. That's my observation. These people suffer.
What does this surrendering to a spiritual master mean? I mean, let's just try to examine this jargon. I mean, what does it mean? Does it mean, you know, for example, I would say, okay, Kendra, I want you to surrender. From this day on, you will do full-time sankirtan. What would you say? Jai Guru Maharaj. Yes, Guru Maharaj. First of all, I would never say the debate, and you would never do it. I mean, let's be for real. Spiritual masters, like a parent. And like a coach. He gives you tips and instructions how to play the game to your best ability. Westerners, they have this deep fear and simultaneous misunderstanding of guru-disciple relationship. You know, they have this fear that, oh, is it going to be a totalitarian relationship? A dictator-type relationship. Am I ready for that? Am I ready to surrender? And sometimes they pretend they're ready for that. Ready for something that actually doesn't exist. There's no question of totalitarianism. It's give and take, actually. It's a give and take relationship. Just like parents raising children, you have to have a give and take attitude. You just can't slam your kid every time when she does something, you know. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Sometimes you ask her, well, what would you like to do, right? And how do you think? You don't agree, huh? You never get asked that, huh? The truth comes out. Uh-huh. Now we see what you're doing at home. Ah, that old style parent, you know. Now we understand. Iron rule at home. Tell us more, Glenn. Just see, you've been exposed. Anyway, Jyoti, what is difficult about bhakti yoga? Learning not to listen to the mind. Well, it's easy not to listen to the mind if you're listening to the Hare Krishna mantra. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the mind can be your enemy and the mind can be your friend. So you have to take up the culture for making the mind your friend. Like an unwanted guest. In Vedic culture, the way you get rid of an unwanted guest is not to feed the guest. So if you don't indulge the mind, if you don't surrender to it, then gradually it weakens. It doesn't become so strong and dragging you away. But those who just chase after every movement of their mind, they never master their minds. Anything else? What's difficult about the process of bhakti yoga? What do you say? Nothing? It's all no problem, no worries?
Dealing with other devotees.
They just don't see everything your way, right?
Yeah.
And they're just not like us. They're not, you know, if all the devotees were like me, then it would be fine. But they're all so different. That's the wonder of Krishna consciousness. You realize you're dealing with so many varieties of persons. And you know, that 90% of the people in this room, if you were a materialist, you would never associate with them. It's a fact. Can you imagine in your, you know, you're going on in your materialist days, let's say, Divya Gan, would you be associating with Nitai Prem? No way. You know, it just, you know, wouldn't cross paths. Any of these people here, you know, you'd have your own, you'd be a recluse, or you'd have your own group of quiet people, and, you know, similarly. Outside of Krishna consciousness, the type where you never associate with all these people. You'd be on the bank of the Ganges, you know, in Gaurinachanand. But somehow or other, for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, we've all these varieties of persons have come together. It's amazing. This is one of the opulences of Prabhupada's mission. It's brought together such variegatedness. And we're all trying to work together. It's not always easy. So you can either be intimidated and upset by the variety, or you can start to enjoy it. You can wake up in the morning, another day of dealing with the transcendental varieties. Isn't that better than like waking up in the morning and thinking, I just wish they were all from South India. And I could deal with them. Not only I wish they were from South India, I wish they were from my particular village in South India. Then I could deal with them. Yeah, get rid of the Australians, you know. Yeah. Get rid of the Bengalis too, right? So instead of waking up like that, you just wake up and think, oh, all these varieties of jewels that are meant to be engaged in Krishna's service. It's amazing how our mind actually sometimes just can't accept variety. That's our impersonal tendency. Why can't they all be the same? Why can't they see things the way I see them? Why can't they do things the way I do them? But when you learn to relish the varieties, life becomes exciting in bhakti. And especially in Krishna consciousness, it produces such strong individual characteristics. Just look at this room. It's all full of all kinds of extraordinary characters. All of their particular way of doing things. So instead of becoming intimidated by that point, why not try to relish it and use it for Krishna's pleasure? You ever think of it in that way? Any else? Yes. But others before yourself. What do you mean by that? Things you like to do. Our priority list should be what is best for Krishna's pleasure. When you care for someone, you're always thinking what's best for that person. That is real love. Real love is not, well, what's best for me and how are you going to fit in with my program? That's not real love. Real love is to think what is best for the other person. If you just think what's best for me and how are you supposed to cooperate with my program, that means you're just using the other person for your own ends. Of course, so much of what they call love in the material world is actually just that. You let me use you, and I'll let you use me. The problem is that often, at the same time that you want to use the other person, the other person wants to use you. There's no, like, orderly traffic coordination. What else is difficult about bhakti yoga? Yes? Let's see. You already said. Come on. Okay. All right.
Just
maintaining freshness in one's service. Well, there's...
For example, doing the same design, and then we do this, and it'd be like the same place every day, same people, same line. After a while, you just get to a little bit too much, and you just kind of like, it just feels like, it's just repetitive, things just become repetitive, like mechanical. So I just find it hard to deal with it sometimes, I just feel like running away from it. That's the difficulty I'm actually facing at the moment. So, it's like some fresh eyes and new eyes and fresh people,
Some fresh what?
New faces, a new place, so that's what I'm dealing with. It's like here in Perth, we have, for example, the Indian Nadine going in. There's only the city of Fremantle or building to actually distribute. Other places, you can easily burn them out very easily. So I find myself just in the city, we have about 4 or 5 spots around the city that we stand.
And you know all the people?
No, I wouldn't say I know all the people, but it's just every day you would see the same kind of people.
So same kind of people or same people?
Same people. And then after a while, you become very picky. Instead of approaching everyone, saying, excuse me, alright, you pick one in about 20 people.
Because you know all the 19 others.
No, it's something funny about that, because you kind of feel like, maybe I've stopped this person. Get that in mind, maybe I've stopped this person.
Well, tell me this. Is it bad that people have been approached by devotees so many times? Is that bad? That they've been asked to engage in devotional service once or twice? Is that bad? That means they're unfortunate? Oh, they've been approached by devotees before for engagement in service. Oh, how unfortunate. That's fine. People have never been approached before. They're the more fortunate. It's actually not true. And if you're going to be serious about the service of Sankirtan, you're going to have to deal with the fact that people have been approached before. It's just going to time. And get off the mental about it and just work with it. The more they're approached by devotees, the more fortunate they are. In New Zealand, they have to put up with this point all the time, right? They just have to factor that into the equation. And you'll find that some people, they refuse 3 times on the 4th time they take a book, right? More what? You have to impart the mentality that, you've seen us again, and you're going to see us again. We're all here together, you and us. We might as well get to know each other. You're not going anywhere, I'm not going anywhere, so we might as well, just get accustomed to each other. You might as well buy the book, and talk about it, because I'm going to be around, you're going to be around. That's the way it is. That's the attitude you should be having. Now, maybe out of this group of 20 people, there's 2 people I've approached before. I've said it before, a city like Perth is a great opportunity for cultivation style of book distribution. You meet people on the street and you want to treat them as if you're going to see them again, because you are going to see them again. You're just an urban missionary wandering the streets, seeking to engage people in Krishna's service. And your presence has to be based upon compassion. Sankirtan is a very emotional service. The freshness is there in the service, and the freshness is there in the holy name. If you chant nice japa, you'll be able to see the freshness in the service, which is eternally there. Basically, now what you're struggling with is, why am I doing this service? What's in it for me? Okay? Yes, that's what's underneath. Yeah. Why am I doing this? What's in it for me? That's the gut reaction, and it masquerades as all kinds of, well, the freshness, the same people. You've got to get to the heart of the issue. Why are you doing this service? Why are you, Emmanuel, who could be doing all sorts of stuff, good and bad, what are you doing on Sankirtan? That's the point you're wrestling with. Yes, difficulty in bhakti yoga?
Actually, it's pretty much similar. Actually, being enthusiastic, always in the beginning when we start to read and chant and everything, we are full of energy and everything, mm-hmm. and then after a few years, you slowly, everything you're doing, chanting all the time, or doing your service, and just you start to lose that enthusiasm. And very often, and you start to clutter, you go up and down, and you just don't have any more that drive which you had or you would like.
That comes from lack of proper chanting. Our enthusiasm, our source of strength and enthusiasm, is the holy name of Krishna. So many devotees make the mistake of slacking off in their chanting, quantity and quality, and in that way they wonder where the enthusiasm went. Without protection of the holy name, without nourishment from the holy name, Kali Yuga will wear you down. Because the Shastra says in Kali Yuga there's only one good thing. Asti Heko Mahan Guna Kirtanari Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambhati. Simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that's the only good thing in Kali Yuga. So if you don't do that, then naturally your enthusiasm will fade, the freshness fades. So we all need someone to remind us of these things.
How come, usually in that last 2 years, and then suddenly you start, for 2 years, for example, you've been all right, so you believe, you were chanting properly and everything, and then suddenly start to fade away. It didn't start, that happened after a couple of weeks, I would understand, but after a few years...
It can happen after 15 years. Offenses, not taking guidance.
Okay.
Just like a boxer, He may have gone 12 rounds of a six. How many rounds did they fight? What is it? How many rounds? Huh? 12? All right, you may have gone 10 rounds of a... I assume boxers fought 60 rounds. He may have got 10 rounds out of 12. And he's getting tired in the 10th round. He's got a coach in the corner who's splashing wood on his face. You can do it. Come on. Keep going, And giving him tips. No, give him a right next time. Throw a strong right, So you need a coach in your corner to keep you from petering out, to keep you from fading. Look at Arjuna. He's demonstrating what happens. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was fatigued. Oh, this is just too much. I don't want to deal with it. So we need a coach to support us. Anything else? What is difficult about bhakti yoga? What do you say, Glenn? Nothing's difficult? All right. So do these things sound insurmountable? Are these difficulties like really things that cannot be overcome? Yes, you say? Yes? Can be. So what's our, so then what do? Give up. The strength to put your mind to it comes from attentive chanting. The sadhana gives you that strength to put your mind to it. You have to decide, do you want to master your mind or be a victim of your mind? That's a decision you have to make. Bhakti yoga is a career for working on yourself. It's a lifetime career for working on yourself. So you've got to accept that. Your career is actually dealing with yourself and developing attraction for the holy name of Krishna. That's your career. Once you look at Krishna consciousness in that way, then you get a realistic vision of the future. What is my career? My career is developing attachment for the holy name, working on myself. It's the greatest thing to do. But sometimes older devotees drop the career focus. So then there's a withering, there's a fading. They go on with all the external trappings of being a Hare Krishna, but they drop that central focus, that central career, working on myself, developing attachment for the holy name. They drop that. Yes? In Bhagavatam, first canto, it is stated, Vasudeva Kataruchi Sanmaha Sevaya Vipla. By rendering service to the great soul, you get the taste, Kataruchi, for hearing Krishna Kata. And then that hearing of Krishna Kata gives you the taste for serving, so it's all working together. Basically, you have to decide, do you want to be a victim of the material world, or do you want to be a hero and develop your life, shape your life for getting free from the clutches of Maya? That's something you have to decide. Now, the way you show that decision is by your embracing of sadhana bhakti. That means you're embracing the techniques for getting out of illusion. When someone is sick and they go to the hospital, they embrace the techniques of the hospital to get well. So let us see how you embrace the techniques of sadhana bhakti. Yes.
Reinvesting reciprocation, which includes one gets a taste for my service, or one jumping for my children, and then some taste is there, and then reinvesting it in a way that's pleasing to Krishna, rather than enjoying it, like riding the maze. It's difficult to get out of yourself, get out of it.
That's why we should always try to give Krishna consciousness to others. Our japa expands into kirtan with the devotees. Then our kirtan expands into sankirtan, spreading the glories of the Lord even to the non-devotees. So everything expands from japa to mridanga to the brihad mridanga. A successful devotee knows how to unify all these elements. The japa, the personal japa expands into kirtan. The more attention you put into your personal japa, the more you'll relish kirtan. The more you relish kirtan, the more you relish sankirtan, wider glorification of the Lord. And similarly, it goes the other way too. The relish of sankirtan will stimulate your kirtan. Your kirtan will stimulate your japa. So it goes both ways. Still, the most important foundation for you is your own personal japa. And you should see how everything else expands from that. No, it's impossible for householders to channel the attention. I completely agree. It is not possible.
But at the same time, I mean, it is. But one could neglect from material duties also. Remember once, not so long ago, we had one young girl who grew up in the movement and her parents for an overreach. And they were very mean and they were very surrendered devotees.
Oh, very, very surrendered devotees. Here we go. With the cliches.
But the young girl, she was crying to me. She was saying, you know, that she felt that like she always comes second to her parents' sadhana and to her parents'.
I hope she does. That's very good. I hope she comes second to the sadhana, but part of the parent's service is to take care of their children. If the child's everything comes second to sadhana. Otherwise, without sadhana, we all go sick. Kalindi wants that you chant Hare Krishna, right, Kalindi? Right? You love it when your mother is chanting, yes? For now, I'm going to put a restriction on you. You must give present day examples and not there was today, okay? All right, you don't mind? Ladies have that empowerment, you know, they can just select in history, they can just reach way back, you know, there was a time when, I just was like, ooh. Okay. It's always interesting to have these discussions because each person is thinking, what the, you know, when what you say, that's not a big deal. Yeah. But what I say, that's a really a difficulty. But what you say, that's no difficulty at all. So it's interesting to have these sessions, gripe sessions. You got it all out, all your gripes. Difficulties of bhakti yoga. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Where is your
Hare Krishna.